Salem Morning News starts right now.
Reach out, touch faith.
So, I know you have no idea what you're listening to, because we didn't tell you in advance it was coming, but John and I had a really good opportunity yesterday to go catch a slice of law enforcement life that neither of us had ever directly experienced. Well, I'll speak for myself, that I had never directly experienced before.
Me either.
Yeah. We got to go out on the Escambia County Sheriff's Office driver training course at Brunson Field. You know, the old abandoned airstrip that's, you know, by the Blue Angel Recreation Area. You know, if you've never driven, if you've ever gone to Blue Angel and you passed a part where you're like, well, there's a lot of concrete out there. Yeah, that's the old, you know, the auxiliary airstrip out there that's north of the actual base. And, you know, massive flight line, massive concrete. I remember, you know, my wife and I, when we were doing our bike riding in Escambia County, we, you know, bike rode through all there. I mean, it's huge, right? It's a huge airfield. So all kinds of concrete. Perfect place to do driver training. Perfect place, because it's mostly very flat. And then, you know, when it was raining, like it was raining yesterday, there's puddles and there's, you know, not exactly obstacles, but it's I mean, anyway, perfect place to do driver training. So we had been offered the opportunity to come out there when they were doing like their cadets and their new deputies. They have to prove that they can qualify on certain obstacles and do certain physical maneuvers, and also, you know, they got to make sure that their drivers are safe before they put them out on the road as deputies. And so we got to go out and watch a little, learn a little, do a little.
Yeah.
So a lot of it, and we'll be talking about it throughout the morning. By the way, super shout out to Tim Cole, who was my trainer, who's a deputy, who, by the way, his history is fascinating. He was an EMT in Okaloosa County, and then he moved to being a fireman in Santa Rosa County, and probably Navarre Fire, I think, if I remember correctly. And then he was also an EMT during that, but then he also worked for lifeguard for a little while as an EMT, and then he was doing some training at the community college, maybe. And
he was teaching.
He was teaching at the community college, and one of his students said, "Hey, you need to come work for the sheriff's office in Escambia County." He's like, "Why?" And the guy's like, "Why don't you come do a ride-along?" And he did, and he's like, "I'm in."
I'm hooked.
So now, you know, he's been there since 2018, and, you know, he's a trainer, and he's on the SWAT team, and it kind of makes sense. He's a paramedic on the SWAT team with his background training in emergency medicine. So anyway, he was fantastic, and, I mean, you know, it was great. I've had some outstanding people, you know, teach me some of this stuff. Andrew Kilgan was there also, Lieutenant Kilgan, who had taken us through the shoot house a couple of months ago when that was first constructed. So here's the kind of the overview is, and I say this because this is what all the deputies go through. You know, some deputies come to the agency like he did, you know, in their like late 30s, and they've been driving for, you know, 15, 20 years with a lot of experience, which is good. Some deputies come to the agency and any agency with, I mean, very little experience. You know, they have to be 21, so they might have 5 years as a driver. But a lot of people, you know, are only a couple of years because kids are driving later or they're not driving as much. It's still, to me, one of the weirdest things is that my sons, you know, my one who's 21 now has only been driving for like 3 years. And, you know, my middle, it was with us yesterday. I'm still working on getting him his license, and he's 19. You know, I mean, they just didn't care the cost of insurance, the need, the social. They don't go a lot of places, even though he's got a job. We'd take him, you know, basically. So kids who might become cops at 21 or 22 might have only had a year or two of experience. And one of the things, there's several things you have to learn, and one of the things is what they call shuffle steering. Now, you know what crossover steering is, right? That's where you, one hand is basically crossing over the other hand in the process of turning the wheel. So at certain points, you have wrist over wrist or forearm over forearm, which is a very normal thing. You're basically, you steer by pushing up with the opposite side hand. So if you're going right, you're steering by left hand pushing clockwise. And if you're going left, you're pushing with the right hand going counterclockwise. And you're then following it with the other hand. The problem with that way of driving, from a safety perspective, is what happens if you're driving like that and you're mid-crossover and the airbag goes off? Well, first of all, you're going to lose control of the vehicle. I mean, you know, nothing bad might happen, but you don't have control of the vehicle. So technically, you've lost control of the vehicle because the airbag is going to get in the way of your arms are not going to be connected to the steering wheel anymore. Second problem, and my dad, who used to do some drive training out in Denver for a company called DriveMaster, where they would do this and more on the skid pad, and they'd teach you how to write your car in a skid and how to deal with these problems. What's the limits of your car? Anyway, one of the things he always talked about was, you know, if your arms are crossed over in front of you and the airbag goes off, you know, you're going to have a forearm in your forehead.
Yeah.
You know? And it's not in a polite way. I mean, it's really brutal. Like, your arms are going to get broken and you're going to have, I mean, anyway, it's bad. So what they teach is a thing called shuffle steering, and what that means is that you have your hands down at like 8 and 4 instead of at 10 and 2 or at 9 and 3, and they're kind of steering from below. And if you go to make a turn, what you do is, like, if you're turning right, you take your right hand up to 12 and pull the steering wheel to the right. And if you get used to doing that, and I am not. I'm still, John, I was trying it yesterday on my way home. Were you trying it on the way home?
Oh, yes, I was.
And what you find is it's awkward because it's not what you've done for 30 years.
Exactly.
But once you get used to it a little, it really makes a lot of sense because the motion is very efficient. Just pull the wheel that way or pull the wheel that way. And again, it's awkward because it's not what you're used to. But anyway, so, you know, kind of explained why they do that.
What does that mean, shuffle steering?
So shuffle steering, most people when they drive, they kind of cross their hands over when they're making turns.
Okay.
We utilize a technique called shuffle steering. So we hold the steering wheel a little bit lower just because of the airbag.
Uh-huh.
And when we go to turn, you actually grab the top of the steering wheel at what we consider the 12 o'clock position, pull the steering wheel down, meet it with your other hand, and then basically feed the steering wheel through.
Okay, so just like you say, shuffling your hands,
exactly right. It gives us a little more control of the vehicle, a little more control of the steering wheel, which comes into play if we're in pursuits and mm-hmm. things of that nature.
And your hand's always on it. You're not crossed over.
Yeah, you're not crossed over. Your hands are always on it. You've got good, maintain control of the steering wheel, maintain control of the vehicle as well. It makes the drive a little bit smoother, especially when we're going in that serpentine kind of slalom fashion, if you will. See here in just a second.
Yeah, and there's dangers of the crossover steering as well.
One of the problems with crossover steering is if, God forbid, the airbag goes off.
Right.
And you've got your forearms, you know, you're going to get, a hand implanted in your forehead.
Which you don't want.
It's not ideal.
Right, and then you lose control of the steering wheel.
And broken arms.
And a broken arm.
And right. lose control. So.
Yeah, holding it like we do. They used to teach the 10 and 2, but because of the airbag, we've kind of moved down to like an 8 and 4 position. So, you're going to get a little rug burn, if you will, if an airbag inflates, but it's not going to.
Not nearly as bad.
It's not going to pull your hand off.
Now, as soon as he says it, it makes obvious sense that the airbag, a safety measure, might well be an impediment to you being able to drive effectively. And if your hands are down, the airbag goes off. Well, the airbag went off. It's, you know, it's an issue. But you can still control the car. Mm-hmm. You can still drive. You can still react. But if you have your hands up, it's going to push your hands off. If you're at 10 and 2, it's going to push your hands off, maybe injure them. And now you've got a problem because you're in a life or death situation and you can't control the vehicle anymore. So, I mean, you know, sort of obvious. So I'm trying to train myself to learn how to do that even just a little bit. Were you successful at learning or were you still felt super awkward?
It still felt super awkward.
Yeah.
But I get it, though.
Right.
It makes total sense.
Right. And that's like one little slice of this experience that, for me anyway, was so he was great. He would show us an event or an evolution. Where they have a lot of cone-based things, you know, doing a serpentine around a line of cones at 20 miles an hour, you know, zigzagging in and out, backwards along the same thing with no speed requirements so you can go slower. By the way, I found out I'm excellent at backwards driving. John, would you say?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
Yes, you were.
Good.
Yeah.
You, what would you say? Good, not excellent?
No, you were excellent. You didn't hit any cones.
Yeah.
We didn't hear any thumps in the back, so we were good.
We had a couple of thunks in other environments going forward. It's not really fair. Like, I'm going to complain for a second. We got these like pole cones, so they're straight up in the air, big orange, you know, 4-inch diameter, 6-inch diameter cone. But then at the bottom, there's like a 14 or 16-inch black base.
Yes.
Well, I'm driving this, you know, giant white Tahoe, green and white Tahoe. I can't see that black base, but I can see that I'm not hitting the pole, the cone pole. And then, you know, over the, come on. I mean, I didn't hit any, I didn't hit the cones.
Like, I hit the base a couple times. We're going to have to pay
for this body work. So anyway, but one of the things that they talked about a lot is that reversing is really a challenge for a lot of the deputies. It's really something that they struggle with doing well. And it's the thing that they have the most trouble with in the agency is, if they're, you know, I mean, look, they're cops. They drive all the time and they get involved in all kinds of situations. The collisions they get involved in are backing up. That's one of the challenges. And so they're trying to train them. And the stuff that they're doing here, they're teaching them stuff that is basically mandated by the state. This is how it works. But one of the issues is that because people aren't accustomed to backwards driving, they get reliant on the camera instead of knowing how to use their outside mirrors, or as most of us in a regular car, you're used to maybe using the rear view mirror, or you're used to putting your hand over the handrest and turning backwards and looking the way they used to always teach it. Well, you can't really do that with all the gear and the discoloration that happens in like the Lexan material that separates you from the prisoners, or there could be a prisoner, or there could be a canine, or the, you know, like they want you to learn how to do it based on mirrors, and it's just something that people are not accustomed to.
Like backing up, as you see this reverse serpentine here. A lot of people nowadays, especially if they're not used to driving big trucks or not used to backing up at all, this can be somewhat difficult for them. But with a little bit of practice, we usually get them where they need to be.
Well, it also strikes me that in your cruisers, the old way of driving backwards was to throw your arm around the armrest and look back. But you guys have, first of all, they're high up, so it's hard to see through the lift gate, I assume.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, you may have the perpetrator in the back seat. You may have a canine unit. You may have gear. So
right.
It seems like mirrors are more the preferred way to do it. Am I wrong?
I'm a fan of mirrors, but I drove fire trucks and ambulances for a very long time, so I did not have the luxury of looking over my shoulder. But yes, I believe that the preferred method is the mirrors, just because, like you said, just a lot of times you can't see back there.
Yeah.
We have a brand new Tahoe that we're in today, so looking through the glass is great. Like, you can see through the glass, but these older ones here,
they've seen some wear.
The Lexan, the plexiglass in the prisoner cage there is fogged up. The window tints, you know, not the greatest. So, yeah, it's difficult to see. I personally believe that the preferred way should be the mirror.
Now, John, I'll check with you again. Are you a mirror driver, or are you a backup camera driver? Or are you a throw your arm over and look back like old school?
Well, I was old school, but then I taught myself how to use my mirrors more. So,
like before this.
Right. Before, way before this. But now I was practicing using them all. I was like, oh, look at that.
Look at those options. Yeah, I back into my garage. We've talked about this on Frivolous Topic. I'm a back in the garage.
Well,
and so I'm using we have a three-car garage, but mine is the single side.
I was like, let's explain this, because if you don't back in, you don't have enough room to get out.
Oh, yeah, because of the way the way our garage is built,
right.
I'd be exiting into the wall, which is not ideal. So I'm exiting into the common space, basically. But I back into the garage every single day. And so I'm used to using my mirrors kind of at speed, you know. I mean, I'm not going super fast, but, you know, used to using them. But many people are not. And also, by the way, this is such a dumb observation, but at the age of 54, you can still learn things. Your car is far more maneuverable in reverse, which all of you know if you've done any backing up. Like those of you who have boats and trailers, it's much easier to jackknife your vehicle moving in reverse, because you're pushing, but because the wheels are at the rear of the vehicle, which means that you can basically steer sideways. Think about parallel parking. When you parallel park, you can almost move your car directly sideways by cranking the wheel. you cannot pull front way into a space because you are steering the front of the cart, so to speak, or the front of the vehicle, and it doesn't work that way. Think about like when you're at the hardware store and you've got those big, not gurneys, what do they call them? The wheeled carts, okay? The movable wheels are always at the handle side because that's how you can swing the thing around and steer it more effectively. Well, that's just the reverse of a car is all that is, right?
Right.
So moving in reverse, you're much more agile. You're much more nimble in a car, but it's not great for drive. It's exactly, that's why you don't want it, because, at speed, you don't want to be highly agile. You want to be a little bit agile. Anyway, so just great experience. And by the way, I'm just telling you one slice of this. I'll have a lot more for you throughout the show. But learning about the safety measures, learning about the attitude, the mindset, what people struggle with, what they don't, some of the basic skills. And yes, we learned how to do pit maneuvers. And didn't just learn, baby.
Oh, boy.
We got to do pit maneuvers. So if you see me out on the road, be nice.
Use all your fingers.
use all your fingers, not just that one. 525 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependent. And if you have questions, text me 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Saturday, August 16th, come to the Sneak Peek Land Sale at the Ranches at Creekside Preserve and get your gorgeous 20 to 50 plus acre estate in desirable Baldwin County on sale from only $139.9. That's right, get 20 to 50 plus acres in Baldwin County from just $139.9 with excellent financing available. Ranches at Creekside Preserve features private large acreage tracts with beautiful woodlands, rolling meadows, and a peaceful creek, all surrounded by pristine natural beauty and abundant wildlife. It's your opportunity to live in Baldwin County, Alabama, one of the fastest growing coastal counties in the U.S. due to low taxes and a low cost of living. Don't miss out. Come to the Sneak Peek Land Sale at the Ranches at Creekside Preserve and get your gorgeous 20 to 50 plus acre estate in desirable Baldwin County on sale from only $139.9. Call 877-888-1415 or visit creeksidepreserveal.com. creeksidepreserveal.com.
You're at the age you're ready to retire, but you're probably considering downsizing. You've worked hard all your life, and now it's time for you. It's time for you to enjoy your time. But where? There are many choices when it comes to a retirement community, but there's one you'll want to know more about. Tune in Monday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as Tranquil Villas and Myrtle Grove Villas will be the guests to discuss all the great reasons to consider retiring in the place.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 528 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom, although I think, is he ready? Ah, I saw you recording. I thought maybe you were working on a news report. Sir, you ready,
well,
sir?
I was, but I am always ready for you, Andrew. That's my middle name.
Aww.
David Always Ready Wayne. That's
odd
it.
Odd one.
Yeah, but yeah. My mom was weird. I don't
know. So, D-A-W-W, so you're
Daw.
Well, you don't have to say it like that.
Darwa.
Darwa.
P-A-R-W. Okay, all right. Anyway, go ahead, sir.
Well, President Trump's sweeping tariff slate is officially in effect. Import taxes will reach levels not seen in the country in almost 100 years, with over 60 countries and the European Union facing rates of 15% or more. Wide variety of products will be hit, ranging from appliances, cars, food, and furniture. United Airlines is back in the air. They've resumed all their flights after a tech issue yesterday that led to a ground stop for all flights that were headed to Chicago and several other major hubs on Wednesday. And terrible story yesterday in Georgia, a sergeant at Fort Stewart at the military base there is accused of shooting five soldiers. The installation says Cornelius Radford took a personal handgun and opened fire on his coworkers. The good news coming out of this, though, is all five victims are expected to survive.
Yeah, it's such a strange story. And, you know, we still don't really know any motive. It was his personal handgun. He went to his place of work. We talked a lot yesterday about the bias about reporting people's military. Obviously, in this case, it's super relevant, so no problem with that. But, man, just glad nobody was killed and that they basically jumped him and apprehended him after it happened.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. A new tariffs on dozens of nations around the globe.
President Trump posting late last night, billions of dollars in tariffs are now flowing into the United States of America. The tariffs will be between 10 and 41% applied to nearly 70 countries. These import taxes will reach a level not seen in this country in nearly a century.
Fox's Lucas Thomas, and the highest tariffs are on Laos and Burma at 40% and Syria at 41%. President Trump and Russian President Putin agreed to meet. That from the Kremlin official today, saying the meeting could take place next week at a venue to be decided. Plenty of delays and cancellations for United.
I'm a little irritated because we're ready to go home.
And the airline did resume operations, but at one point it did ground its entire mainline fleet. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 76 degrees. It is partly cloudy here in Pensacola today. We'll have our weather forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. A 29-year-old man from Pensacola was arrested yesterday after leading an FHP trooper on a high-speed chase. Now, that incident began at about 2 p.m. when the Florida Highway Patrol says they noticed a suspect speeding at 95 miles per hour on Highway 29 after attempting to evade the trooper by turning onto County Road 95A. FHP says the driver lost control and crashed into a wooded area. Troopers say that 29-year-old Tavares Shackley Amel Moses attempted to flee on foot but was apprehended after the trooper used a taser. Moses was taken to the hospital as a precautionary measure, and then he now faces multiple charges, including felony fleeing and eluding, resisting an officer, and several traffic violations. Moses remains in the Escambia jail on $14,000 bond. Now, the town of Century moving forward with hiring a new town administrator. They have narrowed that candidate pool down to five finalists during a recent city council meeting. The position comes with a salary range of $112,000 to $137,000, making it the highest paid role in the town, which has faced recent financial challenges. The town's mayor, Ben Boutwell, says the full-time administrator will oversee infrastructure and work to secure grant funding for the community. Now, Century did recently regain its rural community designation, which could mean faster access to state funding for the town. Public interviews for the city administrator position are scheduled on August 14th. The council is expected to vote on the new hire on August 19th. Well, cases of Vibrio vulnificus, the deadly flesh-eating bacteria, ramping up in Florida. State health officials say there have been 13 cases and four deaths as of last month.
A bacterium called Vibrio vulnificus. Vibrio vulnificus likes brackish water, so salty water.
That's Dr. Eileen Marty, an infectious disease expert, and she says that the symptoms can be worse if the bacteria enters your body through a wound. Marty says you should stay out of warm seawater if you have any open wounds, and also warns to avoid undercooked or raw seafood. Well, investigation continues in Santa Rosa County after an 18-year-old was recently arrested for child pornography. It's an issue that Santa Rosa County Sheriff says is just all too common.
Unfortunately, we get enough of this. This is, it's sickening, the child porn that goes on, but it just seems for a county of our size, 220,000 people, we have an awful lot of it here, and we make arrests pretty much every single day.
And that's Sheriff Johnson there. He says it seems that there's an inordinate amount of child pornography arrests in the county. Johnson said he could have 100 investigators working on those cases every day and keep them all busy, but it still likely wouldn't put a dent in the problem. Well, Congressman Corey Mills is accused of threatening to release nude videos of his ex-girlfriend, Lindsay Langston, filed an incident report last month with the Columbia County Sheriff's Office. She says that the Volusia County Republican also threatened to hurt anyone she dated. The sheriff's office says it's turned over all of its evidence to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. And Mills says the complaint is politically motivated. He's blaming Langston's lawyer, Anthony Sabatini. Mills says Sabatini is weaponizing the legal system to launch a political attack because Mills beat him in a prior election. It's 5:35 here at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our forecast. Again, right now we've got 76 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Our next news is at 6, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. United Airlines said a technology issue that led to a brief grounding of its flights at U.S. airports yesterday had been resolved. The FAA said the outage prompted ground stops at several major United hub airports, including Newark, Denver, Houston, and Chicago. United did not provide details of the technology issue that grounded flights. Trump said he will impose a 100% tariff on imports of semiconductors and chips, but not for companies that are building in the U.S. Semiconductors represent an over $600 billion industry. Experts say the president has yet to provide key details on the policy, which will ultimately determine their full impact and targets. Meta said WhatsApp has taken down 6.8 million accounts that were linked to criminal scam centers targeting people online around the world. The account deletions, which Meta said took place over the first 6 months of the year, arrive as part of a wider company effort to crack down on scams. Futures are moderately higher. Yesterday, the Dow gained 81. That's Your Money Now.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
A lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Hey, Pensacola.
News Radio 92.3 wants to know what you think about our programming. Join the Listener Advisory Board and fill out our quick survey. Your feedback helps us shape the shows you love and discover new ones. Whether it's news, talk, sports, or other programming, we want to hear your suggestions and ideas. It takes just a few minutes, and it makes a big difference. Visit newsradio923.com today to fill out the survey. Let's make your listening experience even better. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News in the biggest story of the day that is the biggest non-story of the day. Major League Baseball is going to have its first female umpire on Saturday, this weekend. Going to be umpiring a game. And next story. here's what is weird about this story. They've been having, like, women refs for over a decade. I mean, well, in the NBA, 28 years. Like, it's been 3 decades. And in the NFL, about 10 years. And, you know, I love the story from the AP. You know, Major League Baseball comes 28 years after the gender barrier for game officials broken in the NBA. Okay. 10 years after it ended in the NFL. And then what's the next natural sport you would think would be, what are the big four? Right? You have baseball, football, basketball, and
hockey.
That's right. Nope, soccer. Three okay. years after Men's Soccer World Cup employed a female referee. Like, I did not see you going that direction. To this, I don't even know. Do we have female referees in ice hockey? I would guess the answer is no, but I don't know the answer.
Yeah, I don't either.
So anyway, so we're going to finally get a female umpire. She went to Hofstra on a softball scholarship, 3-time all-time all-conference pick, USA Baseball Women's National Team in 2001. I did not remember that we had a USA National Women's Baseball Team. I thought women almost all played softball, so I just that was interesting. So yeah, she was umpiring last year and she's umpiring this year, and they called her for the minor leagues, and here we go. She's not the first one to be a female. There's been a female in the minor leagues previously, you know, for quite some time. Rhea Cortezio in 2007, but Jen Powell in 2024 became the first woman. There are a lot of endeavors around sports that you can see why there's a disadvantage or a competitive difference between being woman or man. You know, you can. On the other hand, when it comes to being an umpire, who cares? You know, you got to have good judgment. You got to have good eyesight. You got to know which way to look. And by the way, umpiring is actually very, very, very hard. People, you know, everybody gets on the umpires for not doing it right. But, oh, man, that's
talk about have you tried it?
Oh, my God. Talk about a job that I would never want to have. And, I mean, this is I'll give just a tiny little slice of it. This is I used to play volleyball in college. And I remember they were looking for, umpires, referees for, like, the women's volleyball, which is, you know, Big Ten, real volleyball, right? Mm-hmm. And I've been playing volleyball, at this point for, competitively for like five or six years, something like that, because we started our high school team my year. And then, I played in college. And so I know how to play volleyball. I know the rules. And then I practiced line judged a game. It wasn't even a real game. It was like the alumni game, you know, where the last year's team come in and play this year's team. Oh, my God. The stress and pressure.
Right. How did we do, Andrew?
Not great. I did not do great. And, I thought, man. And that was, like, the low-keyest of all possible situations. So these folks, I have a lot of respect for umpires because that's a really – and then, and it's funny. We were at the game in Greenville. We went to watch the Greenville Drive, which is the high A affiliate for the Boston Red Sox, when I visited my son in Greenville
right.
a couple of month or two ago. And we went to the game. And – we're watching and we got other people around us and, the first base umpire, blew a call. And people were, and I'm like, I didn't say it like loud, but I just said, to the people who were sitting next to me, I'm like, hey, it's high A for the umpires too. I mean, it's not the major leagues for the umpires too. They're learning and practicing and have a certain skill level that's
right,
give him a break. He's still learning. It's okay. Mm-hmm. So anyway, congratulations to her, and also big deal. I think now, in other sort of, I think this actually is more big deal news, and not in a good way. Did you see the story about how fencing, what's going on in fencing right now? So, Trump comes down and says, women and men don't compete against each other in sports.
Right.
Right. USA Fencing came out with this long, elaborate, what we're going to do, and basically said that we're not going to let, transgender, born a man, identify as a female is what transgender woman is supposed to mean. If you want to think of it, a transgender woman as opposed to a real woman. All right. you know, or as opposed to a biological one, however you prefer to say it, because that's the alternative. If you ever get confused about this, just substitute the word real or biological for transgender, and then you'll understand what they're at now. Because it's confusing if you don't think of this a lot. Well, which way is it? Is that the man? Okay, so a transgender woman is somebody who identifies as a woman, right? So transgender women can't compete against real women in fencing. Well, some people are not happy about this. But they're complying, they think, with kind of what Trump is saying you have to do. So some of the states that are much more pro-acronym, pro-rainbow, like Minnesota is super pro-rainbow. Their fencing organization, USA Fencing in Minnesota, now says, you know what their solution is? This is almost so amazing I can't fathom it. But Brother Andrew will explain it to you tomorrow in the Transgressive Memorial Service, I guarantee.
Oh.
They are eliminating single-sex competition entirely. So their solution is, well, instead of having to figure out who's a real woman or not a real woman and worrying about the problems created by the unfair competitive advantage that biological men identify as women might have against biological women identify as women, we'll just make every fencing event mixed gender. The what you say?
Exactly.
Now, fencing, as a non-expert, okay, please correct me if I'm wrong. Fencing seems to me as an outsider to be about as close as you could get to a sport where probably the ability gap between men and women is small. Like, you know, in some, you know, being a linebacker, men versus women. Big gap.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, right? Yeah.
Defensive tackle.
Being a, you know, a pitcher, okay? Being a, you know, in baseball anyway with power, being a hitter, right? You know, fairly substantial gap, okay? But in being a fence, you know, in fencing, you know, you say a fencer? I feel like that's the wrong. I feel like now offensive. I'm talking about stealing things and selling them on the black market. Anyway, in fencing, you know, agility, nimbleness, quick reaction time, eyesight, eye-hand coordination, not so much strength, stamina, right? You know, twitch speed, not endurance speed. So, again, knowing very little about fencing, I'm just opining out of, you know, my butt. But it seems to me like in fencing, the dominance of men over women, like men, is common in most other sports, which is why you have separate gender competition, wouldn't be quite as high. But still, if there is existing a male and a woman and a female fencing, then you got to assume it's because there's a difference. And it's to make sure that women have a fair chance to compete because competing against men is unfair. Well, they're just going to make men and women compete against each other all the time. So you're going to have tournaments where, you know, 50 people enter, I'm imagining, in a bracket, you know, and then if there is a gap, it's going to be still dominated by people who are biologically male. And so that's going to make it very hard for women to really triumph in that environment. Unless, again, like I'm supposing, there's maybe not as much of a competitive gap. Because their solution to not wanting to discriminate against transgender women is to, let's just mix everybody together and pretend the genders are the same. Golly. When you really get committed to an ideology, you do idiotology things.
Right.
That's what happens. And that's apparently what's going on in this case. So, you know, in some ways, gender, sex, really doesn't matter for anything you can identify. And in other areas, typically competitive sports, you think, wow, it really does make a difference. And so this is what we're doing now. Okay, like I said, but that's going to make the transgressors tomorrow for sure. I've already written half of it, so I know where that one's going. Boy. I know where that one's going. Anyway, if you do not know, and I know if you listen to this show not at 6:20 or 8:20, because everybody's got their commute time, at 8:20 and 6:20, early service and late service, on Fridays, I do a thing called the Transgressive Memorial Service where I pretend to be a woke, enlightened, progressive, acronym-friendly pastor, and I tell you all the things that got canceled or some of the things they did well this week. It's kind of become a theme as well. From the perspective of the woke, progressive left, as might be satire. Anyway, but in the process, I wind up teaching you more about that perspective than because I really do understand it. Anyway, oh, by the way, this is, since we're kind of in this vicinity, we're talking about acronym and rainbow stuff. There's an interesting bit of friction beginning to develop, and not entirely beginning, but you know, sort of, it's not gotten a lot of attention yet, but it is fascinating. that the LGB and then T, the LGB, lesbian, gay, bisexual, men only, women only, or everybody.
everybody.
Whatever, you know, any port in a storm. Versus T, there's starting to be some friction here because they are really very different things. Right? Being sexually attracted to people of the same sex is different from believing yourself to be a different sex than what you were born or identified at your birth, as they prefer to say. They really are, you know, quite different. And so sometimes you just say a thing together a lot and people think they're very similar, and they are sort of in the realm of sexuality alternate to traditional views. And in that sense, there's some sort of solidarity among the T and the Q and the 2+ and the S and all the different things. But they really are very different kinds of things, as they say, right? Identifying as a sex is different from being attracted to a sex. And being attracted to a sex is very different from presenting as a sex, right? You have transvestitism, which is dressing as the other, attracted to the other, or believing yourself to really be the other. Those are all very different things. And so smashing them all together in one string of letters pretends they're all the same or similar enough, but they're really not. And so what you've got now, like Pete Buttigieg, who is openly gay, okay, one of the first cabinet member openly gay, I can't remember what the Secretary of Transportation under Biden. He said that in sort of the fairness issues around sports, he says, I think most reasonable people would recognize there are serious fairness issues if you just treat this as not mattering when a trans athlete wants to compete in women's sports, which is definitely a divergent view among the left, right? He's saying, you know, they're not exactly the same, and we probably shouldn't be treating them the same in sports. And he says, and that's why I think these decisions should be in the hands of sports leagues and school boards and not politicians in Washington trying to use this as a political pawn. He says, chess is different from weightlifting, duh. And weightlifting is different from volleyball, and middle school is different from the Olympics. So that's exactly why I think we shouldn't be grandstanding on this as politicians. We should be empowering communities and organizations and schools to make the right decisions. Good for him. I mean, I agree with everything he said there. But you're seeing this kind of friction because he's a member of the LGB group, not a T. And there are many LGBs who are frustrated at feeling like they have to accept all of the T ideology that they don't agree with, that they think is silly. And the worry is that embracing transgenderism is going to jeopardize their own efforts at equality, fair treatment, access, all of this stuff, because the reaction against the transgender stuff has been so vehement and is different than the reaction against same-sex attraction. And it just kind of pay attention to that. Like, kind of keep your eye out and see if there isn't a little bit less total arms locked, complete solidarity between the LGB world and the T world when it comes to these kinds of issues. 552 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Today at 9 a.m., the Pensacola Expert Panel welcomes Mathnasium to the studio. If you have school-aged children, Adana Elder will be in the studio to enlighten you on the Mathnasium method. Mathnasium has a solution for students of all skill levels. At Mathnasium, they are changing lives through math. So don't miss the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 with Mathnasium.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Hi, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants, backed by over 200 years of combined experience, has helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share. With 4 powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs. And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies that gives your business an edge. Let's make 2025 a year of success for your business, whether it's on the Market Leader, Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station. The go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola Playlist 94.5 for reaching women and lifestyle audiences, or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call me, Jeff Wayne, at 850-262-6000.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Kick back with your family and friends at the Gulfside Pavilion Friday night for another Cinemas in the Sand, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. Bring blankets and chairs for the movie Shrek, beginning at sunset. Plan to enjoy the Navarre Farmers Market Combs of Honey. Pick local and fresh produce, along with unique products, every Saturday from 8 till noon at Highway 87 and Segura Corner. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 for the Pensacola Expert Panel with me, Eldon Scott, your host, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing barbecue prizes, and hear how Sunny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. We're spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Make sure to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Tell all the other curs the lie's coming. You tell them I'm coming and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me.
If you change your mind,
take a chance.
I'm the first in line.
Take a chance, take a chance.
Honey, I'm still free.
Take a chance,
take a chance on me.
Take a chance.
If you need me, let me know. Gonna be around.
Take a chance.
If you got no place to go, when you're feeling down.
I just tell you, every single time I listen to Kurt Russell give that line from Tombstone, I get chills. And I get a little scared. Am I doing anything wrong? Am I doing anything wrong? He's not coming for me, is he? He's not coming with hell, too. All right, 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, several good texts on this subject of the fencing in Minnesota, anyway, where they're no longer going to sanction single-gender competitions. It's all mixed gender. Just make everybody compete against everybody. We were talking about whether there's any real advantage being male in that sport. Height, on average, weight, maybe reach, right? Because reach is a byproduct of height.
Right.
But apparently there are no height or weight classes within fencing, which I thought was interesting.
That is very interesting.
So, like, I do not watch a lot of fencing. I've tried watching it. It's so fast I can't see what's happening, so I just get disinterested. Frankly, that's the reason I don't like it. Blue. Red. You know, okay. You know, whatever. I don't know what happened. So...
maybe if they use like lightsabers and then that way you could
and sound effects.
Yes,
that'd be great.
I think it would be.
But yeah, apparently a 6 foot four person and a 4 foot six person can be all in there competing against each other, which is a funny visual to me. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
All right. Well, good morning, gentlemen. How about the latest on the Texas Democrat retreat to Illinois? So
not you much mean, of a retreat. You mean paid vacation?
Yeah, exactly. So apparently there's been a bomb threat at the hotel they were staying at. An investigation being launched into a bomb threat at the hotel where the Democrats were holed up as they avoid the vote on the GOP-led redistricting plan that could mean more seats for Republicans. Now, ultimately, officials say no explosives were found at the Q Center, apparently where they're staying. But the threat did disrupt their stay, and this, as Texas's attorney general has said, he may be open to having the FBI join in on this investigation. President Trump's new tariffs went into effect overnight, raising import taxes to levels not seen in nearly a century. More than 60 countries, including the members of the European Union, now face rates of 15% or higher on a wide range of products. And former TV Superman Dean Cain has announced he's joining ICE to assist with the Trump administration's deportation efforts. On Fox News, Cain said he will be sworn in as an ICE agent, adding to his credentials as a sworn deputy sheriff and a reserve police officer. The 1990s Lois and Clark actor says he's stepping up to help protect his country.
Hmm. Okay, interesting. Oh, by the way, speaking of the whole Democrat redistricting hubbub, do you see, like, the Maryland, was it the governor in Maryland, has now threatened to gerrymander Maryland Maryland, which has 8 congressional seats, only one of which is Republican. So how much farther do you think you can go? Can you draw them all out? I just think it's funny because, like we talked about yesterday and the day before and the day before that, that the places where the Democrats have been in control, they already do it so wickedly, you know, like Illinois and California. And now they're upset the Republicans are doing it, too. It's just so weird. Now, again, I don't think anybody should be doing it. But it's total hypocrisy for you to be complaining about what happens in Texas or, say, Florida when you look at some of these Democrat states and how they gerrymander their district. I mean, it's really, really obvious and bad and, I mean, gratuitously bad to try to reduce the number of Republicans. Streamer.